Hello, this is Danielle Rose, Catholic singer and music missionary, found at www.daniellerose.com. And I'm wondering if you've been taking your Catholic vitamins. Join Deacon Tom and the lovely Dee and get just the right nutrients for your faith from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Advent blessings, Dee. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Glad you are with me once again. That voice that we heard at the beginning said the lovely Dee, and that's right. You got your hair cut yesterday.
I did.
Your Christmas due, and you know.
You got yours cut last week.
I did.
And Holly got hers cut last week.
Tell me this isn't vitamin P prattle. We're really scouring the bottom of the news bucket. Speaking.
Yeah, nothing. We don't have, we're leave boring lives. Nothing
no,
happens.
No, we do not. We're very exciting people. We went to we had an open house here.
Yeah, we went to an open house. we hosted it, dear.
Well, we had 20 some people come to.
Close to 20 people come. And it started raining about half an hour before our start time. And I was afraid nobody would come out because of the horrible weather. But they all showed up.
They did. Well, we had a few that didn't make it, but that's all right. We didn't put RSVP on it, so. And we had just some light, nice Christmas music for a while.
We did, and I think everybody enjoyed themselves.
Had a lot of food to eat and a lot of drinks and entertainment. Mm-hmm. Last night was the Knights of Columbus annual Christmas party for our local council here. And we went to Gerardo's Italian restaurant. He has a different name for it now, but it's Gerardo's.
Fire Rock Cafe, I think. That's what it is. He goes to our parish.
And he put together a feast that started with bruschetta, and then we had salad. There were two kinds of salad.
Mm-hmm.
One was Caesar, and I forget what you call the other one, but it was an Italian.
Kind of like an antipasto.
Yeah.
Salad.
We had, sliced chicken breasts with a mushroom gravy. We had pork ribs that were done in a most unusual.
Ribs. They weren't ribs, were they?
Yeah, they were. They were ribettes. But at any rate, what kind of a...
I don't know what that was, but it was good.
Yeah, it really was.
And then a pasta dish, of course, with that like Alfredo sauce.
Mm,
yummy, yummy, yummy.
As I posted on, I think, Twitter or someplace, it was a 3,000-calorie meal. But we had a very good time, and we had a white elephant gift exchange, which causes a few laughs when you see what people do for that. You know, we haven't even said who we are or what we're doing.
We're losing it.
Well, yes. This is Catholic Vitamins. It's show number
116.
Wow.
And this is vitamin A.
And that word is altruism. Aren't you glad that I said that ahead of you?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. And our guest is Lisa Hendy.
It's all things Hendy at this time of year. She's everywhere helping to promote her new book, and we're going to talk with her about what's going on in her life and about her new book, which we're excited to talk about.
Hey, we had reconciliation in our parish this week.
Yes.
It was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Father changed it around this year and divided it up into three segments throughout the day.
Right.
And we didn't make the earlier segments. We weren't sure we were going to get to it at all.
I was really wanting to get to confession. I really wanted to.
And so we were all dressed up and ready to go to the night's dinner, and we swung by church, and luckily the lines weren't very long for that evening session.
At that time, they weren't.
Yeah, we were there early enough, I guess, though, so we were able to get in and take care of our duty
Yeah.
before we went to our party.
And I don't want to say anything. You know that there's some noise that emanates from that confessional. It's not very well soundproofed. And when I went over and I was doing my penance, I heard laughing coming from the confessional. What was that about?
From me?
Yes. What was that about? I mean, it doesn't sound like a very sorrowful time in your life. What were you doing?
I don't remember laughing.
Well, I heard something. I forget what you said you were talking to the priest about, but.
Well, we did have a little bit of chit chat at the end of confession, and I don't know, maybe I did say something and laughed. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, dear, the opening of our podcast for this time started with the wonderful singer Danielle Rose, and she's a good friend of Catholic Vitamins. And a good personal friend. We exchange emails from time to time, and I pray for her very often. She has an album of music called The Mysteries, and it's written by Danielle Rose, and it's about the mysteries of the Rosary. And the song we're going to play in just a minute is about the Visitation. The song that she's going to sing is called Jesus Within You. And I have a homily prepared for delivery tomorrow at the Mass. And it tells about the Blessed Virgin Mary coming to see and visit Elizabeth. And in the words of the two ladies, first Elizabeth and then the Blessed Virgin, Danielle shares the biblical story in a beautiful musical way. And I'm going to say tomorrow in the homily that the words of Elizabeth, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb," are true words in a very real sense for each and every woman of today. Each woman has a tabernacle inside of her, and those women who have had children have had a blessed fruit in their womb, a gift from God. And if you know any woman who doesn't quite buy into the message of the Church about the holiness of life, about the sacredness of life, if you know any woman who repeats the mantra, "It's my body, I can do what I want with it," I ask them to be aware of theology of the body and some of the teachings of the Church and the writings of Blessed John Paul II, and see if you can't help them to see about the Lord and giver of life and the Holy Spirit who helps all of us to have children at that time in our lives. Well, there's a little bit of an introduction to Danielle Rose and her singing and to our show. We're so glad you're with us. Let's listen to a good bit of Jesus Within You, and we'll be back.
Looked
Well, I just absolutely love Danielle Rose, and she so wonderfully captures the biblical story of the meditation, if you will, based on scripture of Elizabeth and Mary meeting each other at the visitation.
We have a little bit of feedback, dear.
Okay.
We might do some now and finish some later.
All right.
We had a long, long email from Jackie Whiteside up in Washington. We hadn't heard from her in a while. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it is too long, but just a few highlights. She was congratulating us on our SQPN affiliation.
Thank you.
She loves the programs on SQPN. And secondly, she was congratulating us for making it back to vitamin A again.
Hey, that's right. This is what?
Is fifth, I think.
Fifth round.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be entered into the drawing for Elizabeth's book, so I've already put her name in that basket. And she thought they sounded great because she has a new little niece who would love them when she gets a bit older. And she's heard us talk about the Knights of Columbus and you joining the Knights and all that over time, and she wanted to let us know that her husband became a Knight of Columbus last month. She's very proud of him.
Oh.
And then she went on to talk about a beautiful celebration they had at their church for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And their bishop came down from Spokane, Washington, which is about 75 miles away, to celebrate Mass at their parish. So she went on to do a lot more talk about that. But it just sounded very beautiful. Thank you, Jackie.
Absolutely. Advent, late Advent and early Christmas blessings to you and your family. And thank you for the kind words that you've shared with us in different ways all the while that we've been doing Catholic Vitamins. You have anything else?
We heard from Carol and Roger Fornoff. They were our guests a few shows back.
Right, yes.
And they said they finally found time to listen to the podcast, and they think it went well.
Well, good. We were so glad to have you on and to teach us about forgiveness. And
they also said they sent the information about the podcast on to some of their friends and family members. So that's great.
We hope some new people will discover Catholic Vitamins.
Speaking of previous guests, our guest last show, Tom.
Yes, Tom Crogwell.
Crogwell.
Uh-huh.
Something hit me when he was giving his bio about telling us about himself, and he was talking about how he had a nun in first grade who had also taught his grandmother.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Well, I could relate to that a little bit because it was years later, but I was amazed to learn that I had a couple of teachers throughout my school years who had also taught my mother.
Oh, wow. Wow, how nice. Talk about history in the context of education and family. That's neat. Well, the first of our show participants that we'd like to bring with you for this Catholic Vitamins is our good friend, our faithful contributor, Fergal O'Neill from NAAS, I think that's NAS in Ireland, and he sort of captures the Catholic vitamin A of awe, and this is definitely a season of awe and inspiration. So we'll feature our first contribution for this show from Fergal.
As we move into the final week of Advent, with our eyes firmly focused on the glorious memory of the coming of God as man, we enter into a week that is marked by the O antiphons, once described as a unique work of art and a special ornament of the pre-Christmas liturgy filled with the spirit of the Word of God. Each O antiphon begins with an invocation of the expected Messiah, followed by praise of him under one of his particular titles. Each ends with a petition for God's people, relevant to the title by which he is addressed, and the cry for him to come. Wisdom, Sapientia in Latin. Ruler of the house of Israel, Adonai. Root of Jesse, Radix. Key of David, Clavis. Rising dawn, Oriens. King of the Gentiles, Rex. And of course, Emmanuel. The initials of these titles make an acrostic, which when read backwards becomes the Latin phrase, Iro Cras. This translates in English as, Tomorrow I will be there. These wonderful titles are echoed in the daily lectionary as the verse for the Gospel acclamation during this week, reminding us that we are a people wrapped up in the mystery of God made man, yet oriented towards the second coming of Christ. The Advent and Christmas seasons are time set apart for us to look back with thanks and praise for that first Christmas, and with the mystery represented before us, we are challenged to open ourselves to the grace of preparation for the second. Perhaps the time of deepest wonder and awe on Christmas morning are those precious moments we spend standing or kneeling silently before the crib, trying to comprehend the mystery of God's solidarity with us on the earthly journey. As we contemplate, we pray and reflect and perhaps encounter emotions and thoughts that are at other times buried under the busyness of life. As a child, I remember feeling rather strange when the crib would arrive with some of the familiar figures placed around an empty manger, knowing deep down that the scene wasn't complete. I remember the joy of seeing the babe lying there after Mass on Christmas Day. As a teenager, I can remember gathering about the crib on Christmas morning with my cousins, all of us in tears, because the previous September they had lost a most cherished mother and I a deeply loved aunt. As an adult, one of the most profound moments of awe I experienced at the crib was kneeling there whilst reading The Nativity of Christ, a poem written by Robert Southwell, which, by the way, can be found in the poem section of the Divine Office. Such an impact did it have that it is never far away from my mind and naturally flows in prayer during these days. And so I would like to share it with you now. It reads, "Behold, the Father is his daughter's son. The bird that built the nest is hatched therein. The old of years an hour hath not outrun. Eternal life to live doth now begin. The word is dumb. The mirth of heaven doth weep. Might feeble is, and force doth faintly creep."
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh.
Well, what's your name?
Sarah Benedict Astro.
Oh, and what does your name mean?
Blessed Princess.
That's right. You are a blessed princess.
Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. For his goodness is forever, infinite. It is a sheer goodness, not likened to any goodness here on earth. David said to God, "Here I am living in cedar while the Lord lives in a tent." David thinks that he can somehow add to the Lord's glory by building him a great temple. And the Lord turns to him and says, "I took you from the pasture and have raised you up, and I will make your throne endure forever." His throne will endure forever. David's throne. You ever wonder about that? What does that mean? David's throne will endure forever. Surely it is the throne of Jesus Christ, which he inherited from his father David. Because of God's sheer goodness, he allows David to participate in even his incarnation. "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord," sang King David in the Psalms. "For he was taken from the pasture, he was established by God to endure in Christ forever, to have the life that is everlasting, everlasting life. For God strengthens us, and he strengthens those that proclaim the truth of this everlasting life. For we know it has been manifested by the prophets, and it has been shown to be true over and over to us in our intellect, in our memory, in our will, even in our senses. God has shown us his truth. So we are confident in the obedience of faith and proclaim with the angel Gabriel, Jesus will inherit the throne of his father David." Isn't that amazing? The angel Gabriel, who sees the face of God, who has complete knowledge, says to Mary, Jesus Christ will inherit the throne of David. This means that the angels know something about Jesus' incarnation. They know that he is meant to become a man, that he is meant to take on our human nature, that he is meant to die in that human nature, that in his divine person he will descend into hell using his human nature to save us from our sins, and to save those that are in the abode of the dead, and to rise them to life. And he does this on the Sabbath day. And he takes up his throne in heaven. And when he takes up his throne in heaven, it endures for all time, so that all people of all time will proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Whenever we proclaim Jesus Christ, we proclaim the sum total of everything that is to have meaning. Surely God wants you and I to do that, to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, to know that when we proclaim it, it isn't by our eloquence or our ability, but by his grace.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
The springtime of the new evangelization is here. If Jesus is the man of heaven, then Mary is the woman of heaven, and she is on a pilgrimage of faith, the pilgrimage of faith to the all-holy God, and the pilgrimage of faith with the church. She enjoins herself to the church. She mothers the church. She enjoys what we are to enjoy, the blessed and holy Trinity. She is the eschatological icon, that is, the one who points us to our finality, the everlasting life. In her fiat, we say yes. Mother, wherever he is Savior. Assumed into heaven, the new Eve, the mother of all the living. And as mother of all the living, she mothers us into our final end with Christ. As we gaze at the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we see the eschatological icon, the woman of Revelation 12, the mother of God.
Well, thanks to Fergal O'Neill in Ireland for helping us to be awed by the season, by the coming of the Christ child once again in our hearts, and reminding us about the beautiful O antiphons. Thanks, Fergal. And of course, we just listened to Justin Stroh, Catholic musician, Catholic speaker, Catholic evangelist, Catholic motivator. Thank you for your continuing new evangelization podcast segments on Catholic Vitamins. Next up, our dear friend, Lisa Hendy. Well, I'm looking out the patio window here outside of my office, and the temperature is in the 30s. There is beautiful snow falling in Arizona, north central Arizona. But today on Catholic Vitamins, our hearts are warmed by our guest, Lisa Hendy. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Deacon Tom. It's so great to spend time with you today.
Thank you. Gosh, what a long history in terms of new media. What a long history of relationship we've had. And I've just so much enjoyed knowing you and working with you, and I could get into our history, but our time is better spent talking about some of your current activities. For people who are new, and I'm sure most everybody by now knows Lisa Hendy, but for anybody who might be new, particularly somebody in a foreign country joining us, tell us a little bit about getting started with Catholic Mom and the other things you've done.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your show. I'm probably one of the first fans of Catholic Vitamins, and congrats on your recent good news about SQPN, too. I'm a wife and a mom. I'm the founder of a website called CatholicMom.com that was started way back. It's almost 12 years ago now. Hard to believe it's been that long. As a response to my own feelings of needing to do more in terms of being domestic church within my family. And a lot has happened since we started the website. It's blossomed to include lots of contributors, including you, Deacon Tom. We have close to 130 writers at this point that share their gifts so freely on the website. And along the way, I've had the chance to be involved with the world of podcasting. That's one of the ways that you and I have connected through Catholic Moments, and to do a lot of speaking around the country. And then to, in the last few years, to author two books, which is absolutely a dream come true, something I thought would never happen, and a real blessing in my own life as I've contemplated the topics that I've written on. So that's a thumbnail sketch. My boys have grown up in the meantime. I've got one off at college, and one who is a junior in high school, and my husband and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this year.
Praise God. Praise God for all of the things that you have accomplished, and we've been blessed, Dee and I have been blessed to be a part of that, and then to become personal friends as we've visited in Fresno. I was taking a look to refresh myself about the Catholic Mom website before coming online with you, and there's so much that you've built into that site. I mean, there's Catholic information to study, there's a Bible study information, there's prayers and a prayer line, and there's a dad's den and marriage information. Typically, I would ask what I'm sure you've been asked a lot, which is how you do all that you do, but you're just so talented.
I pray a lot. Every morning before my feet hit the ground, I'm already asking God and a whole tribe of saints to you know, equip me with what I need for the day. And the amazing thing is that so often I'll have an agenda for my day, and I'll think of, you know, what my plan is for the day. And then as he does with you, I'm sure Deacon Tom too, a lot of the times when you invite your heart to serve others, sometimes you're taking an unexpected path along the way.
So yeah, for sure.
I do my best, and there's a lot I don't get done, but I'm so lucky to have so many people helping me too at this point, which is a huge blessing.
Well, before we move into your current book, I just want to say that I have both of your books here on my desk, and we started knowing about your writing talent and your skills when the runaway bestseller, The Handbook for Catholic Moms, came out, and we know how much Lisa did to travel and speak about this wonderful book. Has it not, it may be hard for you to do this without blushing, but I mean, it just seems like it's been a dream come true, that book.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, even to have the chance to write a book, I mean, I know so many authors at this point through the website, and so many people who are more capable writers than I am. But I have to say, I got a great piece of advice from my editor, Eileen Ponder, who really taught me to kind of trust my own voice. And I think that having, you know, not one but two occasions to really kind of luxuriate in writing about what my faith life meant to me, and really with that first book to be an encouragement to moms who spend so much time, you know, serving everyone else around them, that it's good for them and right for them to, you know, take time for their own self-care along the way too. I know that so much of what you guys talk about in your podcast too, and I think that's a message that women in particular need to hear time and time again. So it is, it's a dream come true to have done this a few times now.
So now the new book is A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul. Lisa, you got some wonderful endorsements for the book. And, you know, my view is because of the title, but that it's written for moms, but I'm sure, because I'm enjoying it, and any others lucky enough to get a copy, that it's a great read, a great Christmas gift, and a great companion for the new year. What was your vision in setting out to write this book?
Well, the way that the book was conceived was to be sort of a continuation of the themes that we talked about in the first book, which was to encourage people to care for themselves, heart, mind, body, and soul. So with this book, with the 52 chapters, what we did is to find 13 companions in each of those areas, saintly intercessors that we can walk with along our daily journey to God. And the book is really set up to be, really, it's kind of designed to be a devotional type of book. The 52 chapters is no coincidence that you know, there are 52 weeks in the year. So it's designed for the reader to be able to take the book and work their way through one chapter a week. Coming to know a little bit about the biography of the saint, reading some of my personal reflections on the saint. And then I love, we have some traditions for each saint and activities for a mother to do to come to know the saint better in her own life and to share the saint with her children. And then part of the meat of the chapter is a daily, just a really quick scripture reference and a personal prayer that I hope will prompt the reader to kind of spend a few moments in scripture, but also to either write or to just mentally pray their own prayers related to the scripture and through the intercession of that saint. And then some, finally, some reflection questions that would be great for discussion groups. We have some book clubs that are actually already using the book together, or for personal journaling, or just kind of start a conversation in your home. So that kind of gives you an overview of the chapters. And, you know, it was probably part of the hardest thing was to choose the saints. There are so many. I could write this book 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Just speaking of the writing process, a question might, you know, come to mind. How did you wind up picking whom you did? I'll ask that as question number one. And then I'll just observe that on a few limited occasions, I had access to you for whatever business we had to do while you were in the writing process. And I know you were squirreled away. How draining, how demanding was that writing process?
Yeah, well, choosing the 50, actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. Father Jay Finelli, who's a mutual friend of ours, reminds me that there aren't 52 saints in this book. There are actually 52 chapters, but we have 2 chapters that have married couples, so it's a little bit more than that. But I wanted to do a combination of both saints that I've loved and known for a long time, but also some new saints that are new discoveries to me. And I really had the blessing of doing a lot of research for the book and using some great resources to discover some new interceptors as well. And the writing process actually was a combination of being squirreled away in our local university library, which is my favorite place to go when I really need to concentrate. I have a favorite little study carol there that I use. And then the second half of the time I was on the road speaking, so in different hotel rooms and, you know, lobbies and airplanes and planes, trains and automobiles all over the place, because I was really active with speaking during the writing of the book. And when I look back on that time now, I think, wow, you know, the Holy Spirit must have really anointed this project, because without God involved, there's no way I could have, you know, gotten this done. It's kind of a mammoth work, and there was definitely divine intervention along the way.
Well, Lisa, at the risk of beginning to become emotional, I will tell you that there is a reason that I reached out to you for this Catholic Vitam of Altruism. I have come to know many, many people through my work, our work on the internet, and you know, there's a certain friendship that we sometimes put the letter E in front of it, that they're E friends that we meet. But you truly have demonstrated in so many ways the beautiful gift of altruism, which is thinking of others and doing things for others. And you've been so kind to Deacon Tom over the years, and then Tom and Dee, and your website, Catholic Mom, is a demonstration. I know there are many other demonstrations. Without shining a long and lengthy list of attributes for Lisa Hendy, could we talk about altruism as demonstrated in a couple, 3, 4 examples from your book? Maybe if you'd like to pick one, and then I'll pick one or two.
Sure, that would be fantastic. I'd love to hear, first of all, I know how I define altruism, but what the qualities, sorry for putting on my interviewer hat here, but the qualities that you define when you think of the word altruism before I jump into my...
Well, you know, Lisa, I did, you were kind enough to have me write something for your book, your first book, And I said that, you know, a candle never loses any of its light by sharing that light with others. And, you know, the altruism that we're talking about is remembering others upon whom attention or concern should be demonstrated. It's the opposite. It's the Christian opposite of selfishness or self-centeredness. And in so many ways, you've given us the wonderful Christian example of altruism in how you've dealt with so many of us that you have come to know and help and love. And some of the saints were, you know, maybe irritable types, and maybe you wouldn't use the word altruism, but I know from my reading of your book that there's a couple that have touched me for the altruism that they've exhibited. So with my long words, sorry to answer so many words, but...
No, that's great. That's great. I think we're definitely on the same wavelength when we talk about the quality of altruism, and so many of the saints, you know, ring true for me. But one of the ones that immediately comes to mind to me, and she was actually new to me through the writing of the book, is Saint Zita of Lucca. Excuse me. She's become one of my real favorites. And I think that she very perfectly fits the bill of somebody who is very unselfish in their regard or their concern for other people's welfare. She was actually a domestic servant living in the home of a wealthy family in Tuscany, Italy. She lived in the late 1200s and served this family from, you know, a very young age, beginning with them at the age of 12, really living in their house. And her path to sainthood was the domestic, you know, running of this home, where ultimately, you know, her whole life was given to altruism, caring for others, both in the home, but also especially in her community, serving the poor of the community. And she probably likely was, you know, considered poor herself as a domestic servant. But she always made time and gave her small amount of personal belongings to help the poor of her community. And she even inspired her family, who was actually initially very irritated by her piety. She set their home up so that they actually could do more eventually to help and to be charitable in their community as well. So she was a big inspiration for them. And I think there's a lot about Saint Zita that that I've come to know and love over the last year. But this sense of unselfishly giving to others, which is really what we do in family and in church as well. There's not many finer examples of altruism than that for me.
Okay, so that's Zita of Lucca, who is the second entry in Lisa's book, A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms. And the words following her name are Diligence in Domestic Tasks. So thank you for that. Lisa, a very quick story to get to the saint that I'd like to talk about from your book. About 8 years ago, I was in a pretty dark period in terms of my health, and I had three health challenges that unfolded sequentially, and a couple of them were pretty scary. And I'm just going to skip most of this background and just say that the doctors thought that I had a tumor on my pancreas, and they were already preparing me that this would probably be a moderately short illness if it was found to be cancer. So I went to some doctors and oncologists, and then they set up surgery. And before, and independent of knowing you and about this saint, I stumbled onto Saint Andre Bessette. He wasn't at that time a saint. He was Blessed Andre Bessette. And I read his life. I read a book about him. And I thought that he was powerful in terms of his intercession. And my story shortened as much as possible is that I went in for laparoscopic evaluation type surgery. And when they went in laparoscopically, they couldn't see anything or couldn't find anything. And so I was completely under, and they opened me up completely to go in and evaluate, and they found nothing, absolutely nothing. And when I woke up and I received the news, the first thoughts, other than tears in my eyes, was that I had prayed to Blessed Andre Bessette for his help, because one of the areas that he had power was in stomach disorders. So now to come to your book, your beautiful book, I opened up to chapter 20, St. Andre Bessette, Seeking Kinship with the Communion of Saints. And I was reading some of your words. Soon pilgrims from around the world began to descend upon this humble man and seek his counsel and intervention. He had great power. He had great devotion to St. Joseph. He built a beautiful church in Montreal with the contributions of so many others. And then one of the things I love about your writing is you bring Andre Bessette down to our everyday life, Lisa. Andre carried out, these are your words, Andre carried out each day in his role as porter, as servant at Notre Dame. It's unlikely that many of his superiors imagined the good works that would arise through the life of this man they thought ill-equipped to be a religious brother. You know, I don't think they thought him very bright. I don't think he was very spiritually educated, but he gives great example. And you, Lisa, say, like Andre, I sit at the portal of our home, welcoming friends and tending to the needs of my family. I clean house and nurse the sick. I go to work, buy groceries, cook, and transport children. My days are filled with routine little chores that few would ever call saintly. But what a beautiful example of altruism that a good mom is called to demonstrate. So I thank you for this writing about this saint, Lisa. I'm touched as I share this with others. And what an example of altruism.
He was. Deacon Tom, have you ever been to the oratorio?
No, I haven't, no.
Montreal. You and Dee and I need to take a field trip and go there. A pilgrimage, really.
Yeah.
I haven't been there either. And you know, as a Holy Cross saint, and I mean, I'm a grad of Notre Dame, St. Andre, just, I mean, there's so much depth to him. And I think we're still, you know, learning the power of his intercession in so many ways, but he continues to be a real hero to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you enjoyed that chapter.
Did you have another one that you wanted to mention as an example of altruism?
Sure. She's on my mind a lot lately. St. Mary MacKillop. She was actually the first canonized Australian saint, just only very recently canonized by Pope Benedict XVI in October of 2010, and that was a great cause of joy for the country of Australia. She was the co-founder of the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Sacred Heart, and the reason I think about her a lot lately is because with the founding of this religious order, she really was inspired to go to, you know, some of the most far-flung and the poorest areas of Australia to serve the poor and have her sister serve the poor, to build up schools and, you know, to minister really wherever they were called. And as is sometimes the case in our church, her intentions and desires were counter to what her bishop at the time thought she should be doing and how she and her sister should be serving. And she was actually temporarily excommunicated from the church by her bishop. And rather than, you know, taking that as a sign to go off and start her own church or do whatever, she faithfully and prayerfully accepted that and was eventually reinstated by the bishop who eventually definitely recognized the power of her work. And she went on later on to go to the Vatican and to receive formal approval for the order. And the story has a happy ending with her canonization, but she just, to me, both her efforts in being altruistic to the poor of her society in Australia, but also being altruistic to her church at a time when, you know, it might have been difficult for her to, I think is a good reminder to me in our church when we hear about, you know, things that happen and, unfortunately, conflicts that come up and, you know, sad situations of people being separated from the church. She's a real intercessor for me to remain faithful to what I know is the true teachings of the magisterium, and, you know, to always have my work be at the service of the church.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to squeeze two in. I did say when we arranged our time together that I wouldn't try to hold you too long. Not surprisingly, you and I have discovered in earlier years that we both have a love and devotion for St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, and she's in your book. And I, for years, have given away sacrifice beads, the little 10 bead set with crucifix,
yes,
that calls us to be of service to others. And St. Thérèse, you know, started this idea of little unnoticed sacrifices. And so she demonstrates altruism a lot. The last one that I just want to mention isn't so much about altruism, but I was telling someone, I forget who it was, that, you know, I run into, I'm sure you do too, I run into illnesses and prayer requests pretty often. We get them at Catholic Vitamins and elsewhere. And I was reading about St. Bernadette Subaru, and you chose her and wrote about her in your book. And I was telling someone that that you were there, I guess you've been there twice, and that your visit sounds so powerful. And I just wonder, is there any comments about your time visiting there or the candlelight processions?
Boy, you know, those were visits that really meant so much to me and my parents, who you've never had I don't think you've ever had the opportunity to meet my parents, but boy, my mom is the ultimate Catholic mom, and my daddy is my hero. So to share that experience with them was really amazing. I'd love to go back now, but just to be, have you ever been there, Deacon?
No, I'd love to.
You know, to be near the baths, to walk in the candlelight procession at night with literally thousands of people. We were there in the summer, and you know, to just be walking in union with all these people, holding a candle and, you know, praying the rosary in multiple different languages. It just, and to see the people who come there, you know, with this power of belief, not just in physical healing, but more in spiritual healing. And I think their caregivers who go with them are, you know, touched and healed as much as, you know, any physical healing that happens too. So it's really a very powerful place.
Mm. The book we've been talking about, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, is A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, 52 Companions for Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul. And there's a little squib at the bottom from another famous and fun author, as well as a serious author, Father James Martin. And he says, every time a Catholic mother asks me what author she should read, I have a ready answer. The name is Lisa Hendy. Lisa, just what a joy it has been to come to know you, and the gift of your friendship and the leadership in faith sharing that you've exhibited over the years. Thank you so much for the time, and tell us what's on your horizon, either talks or appearances or whatever.
Well, I told you, Deacon Tom, that I'm putting the finishing touches on an Advent booklet that will be out for families for next Advent. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with our readers. It's a book for families to use as they gather around the Advent wreath every night for just a brief prayer service together. So that's been really fun, especially to be working on it during the season of Advent. And then, you know, my speaking continues. And I've been so blessed. And I hope if you have listeners who, you know, are looking for someone to come out to their parish, that they'll consider getting in touch with me for that. Because really, to go out and to meet with the people that Deacon Tom, that you and I are friends with online, and it's a reminder to me that those friendships that we create through the internet actually are true and real and very wonderful when you get to meet people in person. I'm taking a little writing break just to kind of refresh my spirit, because I have a son who will be going off to college all too soon. So next year is going to be a lot about spending time with Adam and helping him to discern his college decision. And along the way, keeping the three-ring circus of CatholicMom.com up and running.
Lisa, I know from our long association how to reach you, but for any listeners who are new that might feel inspired to either reach out and see if you can come to their parish or whatever, give us some contact information.
Sure. Well, I invite everybody, whether you're a mom or a dad or a priest or a sister or a teenager, to come on over to CatholicMom.com. It's not just for moms. We love the title, but we invite everyone to come for a visit. And you can find my contact information there, but it's also very easy just to send an email to lisa@catholicmom.com. It's a great way to get in touch with me. And, you know, Deacon Tom, I want to thank you for this time, but especially for our friendship. It means so much to me.
Bless you.
Your support of my work has been amazing. But more than that, the fact that I can turn to you when I need a prayer warrior on my side. And I credit you for a lot of the work that I've done in the last few years, because I know that you and Dee have been in my corner every step of the way.
Well, we sure have, Lisa. We have been, supporters, heart, mind, body, and soul for Lisa Handy. And we've enjoyed visiting with you personally in Fresno, and if people are listening and can get a chance to get you to come to their parish or chancery or to their conference, Lisa Handy is a great speaker and motivator. Lisa, we love you. We wish you Advent blessings, the closing of Advent, and Christmas ahead. And thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you, Deacon Tom, and thanks to Dee as well for all you guys do for so many, and happy Advent to everyone.
Hi, this is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. My saints in scripture vitamin A is apostles. Do you think you could list all of the apostles? Like the Ten Commandments, it can be a challenge. Chances are that most people would miss a few. Today, I would like to leave you with a few tips to help you remember all 12 of these close friends of Christ. First, try to remember that there were two sets of two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. These two sets of two brothers were also fishermen and the first of the apostles to be called. Next are Philip and Bartholomew. They were good friends before being called, and it was Philip who told Bartholomew about Jesus. Thomas and Matthew. They both have sort of disagreeable brandings. Thomas is often called the doubter, and everyone always seems to remember that Matthew had once been a tax collector. The two obscure apostles, the other James and Simon. These two would be the hardest to recall. Neither has a quote in the Bible nor any unique stories to set them apart. You just have to remember them. The last two would be the two Judases, Judas Thaddeus and Judas Iscariot. Judas Thaddeus is often called simply Jude to help avoid confusion between the two. And Judas Iscariot, well, we all know his sad story. And the replacement apostle. Once Judas Iscariot was gone, it was Matthias who was appointed to be his replacement. So we have two brothers and fishermen, Peter and Andrew, two more brothers and fishermen, James and John, the introduction apostles, Philip and Bartholomew, the apostles who sometimes get a bad rap, Thomas and Matthew, the two barely known apostles, the other James and Simon, the two Judas apostles, Jude Thaddeus and Judas Iscariot, the replacement apostle, Matthias. May all of the apostles in heaven pray for your intentions today.
Well, there we are once again with another wonderful contribution from our Texas correspondent, Teresa Doyle Nelson. Teresa, thank you. And I forgot to mention, when we were coming out of the Fergal O'Neill segment, that we got an email from him, dear. And in part, he said that he liked the picture that we sent to him. You remember we did a picture of you and I? Was that taken in Colorado?
It was.
And
we sent that along with a Christmas card to them.
Yeah, and he said that that if they could look as good or as happy or as peaceful as we do
when they retire, and watch their kids fly the nest,
that they would be quite happy. Well, Fergal, we're in our 30s. I don't know what you're talking about being retired, but thank you for your kind comments, and our best, our holy wishes and our prayers to you, Mary, and the family. Dee, what have we got to do? We've got a drawing for Elizabeth Piccicelli's books.
We do. We want to get those out to people before the...
All right. So here, dear friends, here's what happened. We had Elizabeth Piccicelli on some weeks ago. She contributed three books.
Where do priests come from? Where do deacons come from? Where do nuns
sisters come from? And so we told people that we would be very happy to spawn one each of those for people who sent their names in. And you have one of your baskets here, and some names are in it.
I do. Actually, it's a plastic container.
Oh, not one of your...
No, it's not a basket.
Not a wooden basket this time. All right.
So the first book.
Mary Lewis in Arizona.
Arizona.
Hey, dear Mary, thank you. We saw you recently.
She just got our last bite of Scrabble, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this, Jackie Whiteside in Washington.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, and
one more.
One more. The last of the name draws is Susan Craycroft in Florida.
Well, great. Thank you. Susan, Jackie, and Mary will get one of each of these books out to you.
Blessings, and thank you each for being listeners and participating in the various things that we do. I wonder if we could squeeze in a Catholic vitamin sweet treat for each of those. Do you think we could do that?
Oh, I think so.
We last year, you're very lucky, Dee. Last year, I had people sending in their names for some of your custom candies, and we had really good response to that. And I'm going to tell people that at the last minute this year, you made some of your wonderful homemade custom candies.
I spent all day last Saturday in the kitchen making those. My back hurt so bad that night from being on my feet all afternoon, but that was mostly to get them done for our open house.
So I don't know, depends on what kind of packaging we can do for these things, but maybe we could put in one or two of your custom candies plus some Catholic vitamin sweet treats. Just part
I'm
of the
bound
joys.
To determine that I'm going to send some of those out this year, right?
Yep. Just part of the joy of being a participant on the Catholic Vitamin Show. Dear friends, we want to wish you...
we got to do by the Scrabble.
Holy, blessed hours as we close Advent. We want to wish you the warmest, the most spiritual, the most blessed of Christmas hours to come. And our next show will be in January. We think we're going to take some time off. We think it'll be the weekend of January 7th, right?
That's what we're aiming for. Just take some time, a little bit of time off. But as I said before we started, that, you know, you never know when the Spirit is going to strike.
Oh, here in the background is Holly wishing everybody Merry Christmas. All right. So
if the Spirit strikes, if we decide to do something in between, we might. But for the most part, I think not.
All right. January 7th is when Catholic Vitamins will return to the worldwide airwaves.
So people are going to have a bit of an advantage this time, in that they're going to have a lot more time to think about this next vitamin.
I know. It's a little bit unusual because it is an unusual word to think of as a faith vitamin. Yeah. But
it's going to be vitamin B, ends in G, will have 8 letters.
All right. So once again, begins with the letter B like boy, ends with the letter G like girl, and 8 letters. And if you're new to Catholic Vitamins, just take a guess. Send feedback to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our number 206-350-3789. And I think I saw a note someplace, Dee, just before we do the Vita Minute, I think I saw a note someplace that said you were looking for more plugs on iTunes reviews.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about that. Yes, we haven't said that in a long time. So, I mean, but we have any new listeners out there. If you like what you're listening to, you like what you're hearing, go to iTunes and give us a rating and even type in a little review. That would be wonderful. The more we get of that, the kind of higher up we get. I went on to iTunes not too long ago, and I think I just typed in Catholic podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised that there were at least three, maybe four of the SQPN podcasts that came up on the first page.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And that's what we aim to see, is more of our Catholic content, more of the SQPN podcasts come up.
I'm glad you mentioned SQPN, because I almost forgot to mention that we are still in the 2012 giving campaign mode for SQPN. So go to sqpn.com, find the link for making a contribution and help out. And if it's a one-time gift of $5 or $50 or a monthly donation, you and I just made our monthly donation just last week. And if you could do that to help SQPN continue its work of Catholic new media evangelization, you will be blessed in some way in return. All right, Wait a minute.
Advent is a time of waiting to be forgiven and a time of knowing that I am forgiven. It is a strange combining of the old and the new, as if the eons of waiting, mankind's waiting, have suddenly entered my soul. Mm-hmm. And that came from a spiritual reading from Catherine Doherty on Madonna House.
We often turn to Catherine Doherty for things to share, and I guess we are about ready to wrap up. I hear a phone in the background, but we'll say goodbye, God bless, and look forward to joining you in the new year. Thank you, everyone, for your time and support for Catholic Vitamins. We'll close with Danielle Rose and her song, See You in the Eucharist, that being what all of us will be heading towards for Christmas, the Eucharist and the Mass. And listen to the words of Danielle Rose as she lifts our spirits. Thank you. Blessings.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media. Company of angels.
We are pilgrims on a journey. We are headed for the throne.